Do you want to talk about how you're feeling right now?
I'm Batman. I don't talk about feelings. I don't have any. I've never seen one. I'm a night-stalking, crime-fighting vigilante and a heavy metal rapping machine. I don't feel anything emotionally except for rage. 24/7, 365, at 1,000,000%. And if you think that there's something behind that, then you're crazy.
Who has the coolest gadgets? Who has the tricked out ride? Who does the sickest backflips?
Welcome to Now Playing's bonus movie review of Lego Batman.
Your superpower is excellent listening. Let's try it out.
With our all-star hosts, Jacob the Dark Knight.
He has aged phenomenally.
Stuart the Boy Wonder.
You're not a traditional bad guy, but you're not exactly a good guy either.
And the Clown Prince of Podcasting, Arnie.
You want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts.
Have you ever danced with a spoiler in the pale moonlight? This podcast will contain detailed plot spoilers, mild language, and intense foot pain if you step on it.
Well, I don't want to scare any small children who may be listening.
Listener discretion is advised.
Now, begin mission.
Yes, Papa.
Who's the manliest man? With the buns of steel. Who could choke hold a bear?
Today we're discussing the Lego Batman movie, starring Will Arnett, Michael Cera, Rosario Dawson, Ralph Fiennes, Susan Bennett, Zach Galifianakis, Jenny Slate, and so many other voices, directed by Chris McKay. This is the Now Playing co-host who's got the coolest gadgets, has the tricked out ride, but doesn't do the sickest backflips, Arnie.
Tweet, tweet on the street, it's Stuart.
Yeah, I got an extra ab. This is Jacob.
And hello, patrons. Thank you for joining us for what I can't stress enough is a one-off review.
Although we will still get emails, Facebook requests, and everything else begging us to cover the Lego movie. Here's a short version. I hate it!
Wow, hate? That seems strong. I watched it. It was fine. It's okay to watch with your kids, I guess.
Everything is awful. I watched it again. Here's the thing. I saw it a couple years ago. Longtime listeners know that I have a problem with a lot of animation these days that skews for children. It's not my thing. It doesn't play to my sense of humor. I remember half watching it before I ran a marathon. So, you know, I maybe wasn't in the greatest frame of mind to see it. It was the only thing on HBO in the hotel room I was in. And so I was like, yeah, this is not funny, but I was kind of distracted. I figured knowing that Batman was in this, I owed it to myself to come back. But no, it's like Robin Williams' worst stand-up routine reenacted by toys. It's just manic to the point that I wanted to puke.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's manic. But what I liked was, I guess, spoiler alert, it was the end conflict in the real world about being a collector versus just playing with your toys. I kind of dug that whole conflict going on. Yeah, the whole in Lego story was not the greatest.
Back when that movie first came out on video, I saw it. I think some listeners think I have an anti-animation bias. I don't.
They think we all do. It's not just you.
I think I do, but I usually will give anything a chance. I like the Toy Story movies. That ain't Toy Story.
No, but I did like the Toy Story. I've only seen the first one, but I like Toy Story. I like Finding Nemo. I enjoyed the first Shrek when it came out, although it had a short lifespan. I watched The Secret Life of Pets, you know, Wreck-It Ralph.
Damn it. Okay, yeah, shit.
So I don't have an animation bias, and the Lego movie looked not good enough to go see in theaters with a bunch of kids interrupting my viewing, but good enough to rent as soon as it came out. And I did do a Venganza Media review. I'll post it again. I got some crap for it. I gave it a mild recommend. And what I basically said was, I hated the first half an hour of the movie. My quote here is, I strongly considered turning it off and forfeiting my $5 iTunes rental fee. Lego had finally created their own characters, but failed to create a single one I wanted to watch on screen. Then Batman showed up.
Yeah, that seemed the takeaway. Everyone loved Batman. Regardless of how you felt about the rest of the film, everyone loved Batman in that one.
Not everyone.
Except Stuart, who hates animation. I'm going to keep the rumor going.
I hate everything, I guess. No, I just... And, you know, the other thing that irked me, too, was the disingenuousness of... They tried to say, oh, we celebrate creativity and master builders. Tell me that they weren't trying to sell you playsets and...
Oh, yeah, they came out with Lego movie Lego playsets. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah, I am not buying this, oh, do whatever you want with the Legos. No, buy this box of Legos and that one and pay $50 or more. I've been to Lego stores. These things are pricey.
Oh, yeah. Until recently, they were a better investment than gold.
What?
Like, the prices have come down, but I have sold used Lego sets. I used to have a huge Lego Star Wars collection opened. I put them together. I wasn't creative. I followed the instructions. I built my, you know, my AT-ATs and my snow speeders and all that. But then I had to sell stuff, and I sold those, and I actually made money on opened used Lego sets.
Wow. Yeah, that is true, that they have gone up in value more. I'm sitting literally on top of possibly a gold mine, as I have in our basement Star Wars Lego sets from 2002 through now. I didn't get all of them because they're just too expensive.
Yeah.
I have a lot of them unopened, and I do have every Marvel Lego set they've ever made, including the $300 Helicarrier. So I enjoy Lego the toys. I enjoy the company. I've covered them for Star Wars Action News for 12 years and Marvelicious Toys. I've gone to their press events. I did find it a little weird that they made a movie based off their own generic sets, but then created movie branded sets of the generic sets. I went back, I rewatched the Lego movie. I actually liked it less this time around.
Oh no. You know, and I know Lego could be funny because I played those Lego Star Wars games and the DC Universe ones, the Batman games. They seem to go on forever, though. Like, they had Harry Potter and Indiana Jones, Lord of the Rings. The formula got old, but they were funny. They had a lot of jokes and just things that made those games great to play.
Yeah, I played the Star Wars ones, the Batman ones. They're just fun games. They're some of Marjorie's favorite games. They're Mario-ish, and there's not a lot of time. You get to explore the worlds, and instead of picking up coins, you pick up little Lego pieces. They're really fun games. I also watched all of the Star Wars Lego animated cartoons that aired. These go back to the Revenge of the Sith times. It started freaking me out when the Lego people started to talk, but I kind of went with it, and I've gotten a lot of enjoyment out of those, and I didn't quite care for the Marvel one they did, but their Star Wars stuff's been pretty solid.
I like Legos, and I like seeing things that I know represented in Lego form.
I don't know, it sounds like you've stepped on one too many.
No. I mean, like, when Michelle Gondry makes a video for the White Stripes,
yes,
and everything's in Lego, that's really cool. I mean, I think the aesthetic is great. I think it's good for children to learn building skills, but I got a funny picture to put in your head. Imagine me. In the last 10 months, I have been to both San Diego Legoland and Atlanta's Legoland Discovery Center.
They have more than one. I did not know that.
Yeah. Oh, they're all over the country. But okay. The big one is in San Diego and in Denmark. Those are the two major theme parks. And then they have these little centers where they do little rides. And I got to say, the rides skew very, very, very young. Like, it will make It's a Small World look like the Screaming Eagle. I mean,
yeah, I've never been to Legoland, even though it's just down in San Diego, for that reason. It seems very small child, toddler almost.
I'm also, of course, the perfect candidate to go see Ninjago, because Arnie felt like someone needed to do the retrospective. Even though we're not doing the retrospective, there was another Lego movie released just a month ago.
I can't imagine this is going to end well.
I'm the perfect one. You know what it is I don't have a job. Like, I'm back here in Springfield, so, like, you can go and do this while I do all of the research for other things.
We'll talk about what research I did for this, but you also have that red card, so it didn't cost you anything but time.
Well, it did, but I'll say this much. Honestly, it was less painful to me than Lego Movie, mostly because it wasn't so smarmy and self-referential.
Wow, you're one of the few that have said that. No one likes that new movie.
It's a kids movie. I mean, it's a flat-out only-for-kids movie, whereas Lego Movie tried to be Toy Story. But it's basically Power Rangers. It's a bunch of kids in mechs fighting in a Lego Japan against a villain that ends up this father figure in black and this kid in green end up having a dynamic very similar to the Batman and Robin we're going to be talking about in this movie. There's a big carryover in themes.
My reason really for thinking one of us needed to see it, though, were there any crossovers? I mean, Lego Movie had Batman and Superman and Green Lantern and Han and Chewie, and the Lego Batman movie, we'll talk about all the things it has. I wondered if Ninjago would continue the crossover. Did Batman show up?
Nothing. No Lord of the Rings, no all of the things we're going to see crossover in the other two movies. Ninjago is its own thing. It has its own area in the Legoland theme park, its own rides, its own restaurants. It had Jackie Chan, and it had its own mythology. And again, Power Rangers. If you like that world, this is the Lego version of that.
Well, I may not have gotten a chance to see Ninjago because I was at New York Comic Con, but I think I bit a bigger bullet. I decided one of us should see all of the Lego Batman stuff that they did before it hit the big screen.
How much is there?
There are 5 movies plus shorts that were direct-to-video Lego Batman stories.
This isn't Will Arnett doing it, though. This has got to be previous.
Correct. It is not any of the same voice talent. It's mostly voice actors who just do cartoons in general. And they range in length from 50 minutes to 80 minutes. And honestly, I enjoyed a couple of them. The first ones that are more Batman-focused were pretty funny, because it has Batman constantly speaking out loud about how he's waiting for the alien Superman to turn evil, and he'll be the only one to stop him, and he's only going to join the Justice League to keep an eye on Superman. I found that frenemy dynamic really funny, but then it became a Justice League show that focused way too much on Supergirl, who was like a cheerleader, and rapping Cyborg. If anything wanted to get me less excited for the upcoming Zach Whedon Josh Snyder film.
Do you see this in theaters, Arnie?
I did. I went opening week.
So you loved Batman in a movie you hated so much, you went and saw this movie.
The trailers for this had me laughing so hard.
They were pretty good trailers.
Yeah,
I agree.
I had to see this. Marjorie refused to go with me. She was like, no, I suffered through one Lego movie enough.
Did you go alone with a bunch of little kids?
I went during a workday school day showing. I mean, remember, this came out in February. So I went at 1 p.m. on a workday school day. It was like me and 2 other adults in the theater. It was glorious.
Imagine going to Ninjago where you're the only person over 12. I didn't feel like a creepy predator at all. I walk up to the counter. I'm like, give me one for that ninja movie. I'm like, please don't judge me.
You're embarrassed to even say the name.
Oh, yeah. I'm so ashamed, really. But anyway, my point is, Arnie came back from this experience and said, best Batman movie ever?
I don't think I said that. I think I said, the listeners have really been requesting this review. Many of them are saying it's the best Batman movie ever. Oh. And what I can tell you is it doesn't suck.
Okay. Well, what I heard was this is the best Batman movie ever made, and approach it not as a sequel to the Lego movie, but as a Batman movie. And that did get me a little more intrigued, particularly now that we're seeing Batman and the Justice League coming up. I don't know how to feel about that smorgasbord. It sounds like we're going to get the serious version of it when we go to theaters, and this is the comedy. We're going to try and see the parody of Justice League here for you patrons.
I feel like going into this, we could get in the same trouble we did with Adam West, Batman 1966. Are we just going to talk about the jokes we like? Because this is just a straight up comedy.
Yeah, and Batman 66 weighed heavily on my mind. I definitely feel like they looked at that and that world. You know, people have tried before, Joel Schumacher.
Oh no, they brought back characters that were only in Batman 66.
Yeah, they didn't know how to crack the camp of Batman until this movie. And so who are these players? I started looking this from a film standpoint and realized I knew nothing. Will Arnett, here's what I knew. One episode of Arrested Development.
You've only seen one episode of Arrested Development. This is very upsetting.
Yeah, I know. And I don't even remember him in it. He might not have been in it. A single episode of a horrible Netflix series called Flaked, where he's walking around a Venice store.
Never even heard of
it. It's terrible. He's not funny. And then, of course, who could forget his supporting work in those wonderful new Turtles films? That's it. That's all that I know this man from.
I know him from so much. I think I really became aware of him because of Arrested Development, but he was in just a ton of movies. He was married to Amy Poehler for like 13 years when she was really big, and so they both had big careers. He's a favorite guest on Conan. He was in Men in Black 3.
He is considered a big star?
Yeah, he is.
People like this guy?
I don't know if he's a big star, but he's someone that piques my interest if he's going to show up in something. Like, I'm more likely to see it because of him.
And because of Arrested Development?
Yeah, mainly because of that, because he's super funny on that show. I can't believe you only seen one episode.
Yeah, I mean, he's good in the stuff he does. He was supposed to be the voice of Kit for the rebooted Knight Rider series.
Yeah, he actually started as a voice actor doing commercials. Like, that's where he got all his early jobs, and then Arrested Development was like his big break.
Mm-hmm. I watched a show called The Millers just because he was the star of it, and I actually found that to be rather amusing. And he's also a supporting player. I don't know if you guys have seen The Increasingly Poor Decisions of Todd Margaret. It stars David Cross, another Arrested Development player. The first two seasons are pretty good. The third season's unwatchable, but Will Arnett's big in that. No, I like this guy. That's why whenever we see that guy who was in the Conjuring films, we call him fake Will Arnett.
The guy that I know much better. But anyway, let's not go back to, God knows, I'm having trouble enough going back to Lego. We're not going to Conjuring. So what is he bringing here? He's bringing a fan base of comedy. Does he always play this alpha male douche, or is this an invention only for his Batman?
I'm going mostly off Arrested Development because that's, I think, his biggest thing. And yeah, that he's basically doing the same role as Job, if you've seen that. Yeah, he thinks he's an alpha male, but he is a douche.
It's a lot of self-boisterousness that is not able to be backed up. That is his gig. It's not usually as overplayed as it is here for Batman. What I think he brings is good comic timing and a good voice, because that's a hell of a good voice.
I did read that he was trying to out Christian Bale with this Batman voice, just like really push it to the absurd levels.
And in addition to watching all those 5 direct-to-video Lego Batman films, I did listen to the commentary and watch the making of, and unusual for some animated films, Will Arnett and Zach Galifianakis recorded together in the recording booth, and they were allowed to improvise. They were able to just riff, and some of the stuff, like, I like to fight around, was just out of that improv. It was not scripted by any of the, how many, 12 screenwriters that are on here?
Wow.
So I think that what he brought in addition to that was comic timing and the ability from his comedic background to riff and to be able to bring that. I mean, that's why you get Zach Galifianakis to play Joker too, is because you want somebody who's not only able to deliver a funny line, but who's able to create funny.
And speaking of Arrested Development, we also have George Michael here with Michael Cera as Dick Grayson.
Scott Pilgrim, yes. Obvious choice.
I know him from other things. Him I know the best of all that you're talking about. Another one I don't know, this directing force, Chris McKay. Robot Chicken, is that just this movie but with action figures and not Legos?
It could be similar type of humor. But I think it skews more adult most of the time, though.
It does. It goes more for irony. It's happy to break the mold. I mean, like, you'll have sketches such as Skeletor and his goons caught in traffic, you know? Right. And they don't just stick with the toys that exist. I remember one very funny one where they were advertising a fake toy called Morning Wood, and teenagers wanted their Morning Wood, and you see where the joke goes.
Yeah, got it. Don't even need to see it. Got it. But yeah, my sense is that it had that kind of late night South Park kind of quality, but their whole milieu was, I thought, stop motion. And one of the things I wondered was, with the Lego movies, are they using any real Legos? Is there stop motion going on, or is it all done in a computer?
Now, Arnie, you probably watched all the extras. From what I read, at least with the first Lego movie, I don't know about Ninjago and Lego Batman here, at least with that first Lego movie, it's all computer animated, but they actually built the Lego sets with a computer, so they'd be like real life Lego sets.
As if computer animation isn't hard enough, and that is very difficult to do all that rendering, the Lego Corporation is very big about how its bricks are represented in the films. You are not allowed to melt a Lego on screen.
Yeah.
You are not allowed to bend a Lego brick. You're not allowed to change the color of a Lego brick away from the color that it comes out of the box.
But you can blow up a bomb and, I guess, tear up the whole flooring of it.
As long as it's Lego flooring, they had to really push for water and smoke in this film and not to just have clear Lego bits and gray Lego bits pretending to be those elements. And they wanted Barbara Gordon's ponytail to move, so they had to work with the toy division so they would add that joint to the Lego minifigure so that it would have that. Now, they do allow for some leniency with the characters. I think they realize that a character with 9 points of articulation is just not going to be that dynamic on a screen. You can go to YouTube. There are geniuses out there making Lego stop motion films, and you can see that the limitations of the movement hurt. And so they allow them to bend in the arms and bend in the back and do things, you know, have hip joints that go out.
Though all the body types are the same. The funniest thing I think with Legos, they do this with the toys, is like they want to have a female character with curves and they kind of just have to shade that body so there's an hourglass figure there. They can't actually make a new body torso shape.
But yet they do for some things, like Gamorrean guards. There are fat bodies.
Yeah, but with the regular Lego people, they, even the females are these boxy characters.
Do they have any issue with content? I imagine they would. This is a PG-rated movie. I'd think that Lego might be more comfortable with G. Its primary audience is obviously little kids.
Not little, though, because you are talking about a building toy. You want to get above the age of, you know, the joke at the end of the Lego movie was the Duplo blocks. These are Legos where you've got to be able to design and have the fine motor skills. I think by the time you're 6 or 7, PG is appropriate. You can delve into some of the potty humor that they go into here, like calling people human farts.
And I think just with characters like the Joker or Voldemort or Sauron, I think that just pushes it to a PG right there.
It's not like they went Transformers and said shit, you know, it's a very light PG.
Yes.
But to answer your question, Jacob, yes, every vehicle, every building, everything had to be constructed from real Lego bricks.
So they continue that tradition here.
In the commentary, they said that the Kraken is built with more than 100,000 Lego bricks. Can you imagine, as a computer person, to have to design that? I'm sure that they built special software just for these movies that would create for them and create the movements for them, because otherwise you might as well do stop motion. I also do think, though, that they pulled into the roster of their other Lego Batman films. Otherwise, why would you have Batmite show up in this? You know,
they got every Batman character show up in this thing. I started writing them down and then I just stopped. I'm like, okay, they're just including everyone. I'm not going to keep notes on all of them.
I followed their advice. I did indeed Wikipedia Condiment King and found out where he was from.
I did. Yes, I did Google him. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's real, but let me Google that.
Wow. I can't imagine. But yeah, they're delving into every era. I dare say Arnie is right about one thing. It's a Batman movie. It may also be a Lego movie, but this most assuredly is embracing the entire history, all the way back to the early serials of Batman that we didn't even cover. Every time Batman has appeared on screen, they make note of it. And it looks like the comic book history too is here.
Yeah, one thing that made me feel we could review this is it was not a sequel to the Lego movie. Despite the fact that the Lego movie had Batman and had Superman, this is a complete standalone film. It's the same voice as Batman from the last one, but it doesn't tie over at all. There's nothing that made me feel this is connected to the Lego movie.
There's only one thing, and they talk about the Abyss. We'll talk about that at the beginning of this. I'm like, so is this Will Ferrell and his son actually playing this Lego Batman movie out? But yeah, you don't get a whole lot of connections to that original one. Here's my question. You're saying this is totally a Batman film. Isn't this really a Warner Brothers film? Because I feel they're going to bring in a lot of other properties, but I think they're just Warner Brothers properties like Harry Potter, Gremlins.
Not all of them were Warner Brothers.
Clash of the Titans, is that Warner Brothers?
A lot of them were Warner Brothers, but they did discuss it took an army of lawyers and a lot of people just negotiating contracts and reaching out and saying, can we use these characters? And some people said yes, some people said no.
Yeah, I was definitely impressed by the reach of pop culture they're able to hit, too. I don't know, how many legal files they had to make, but yeah, it's an incredible assembly of a lot of series we've covered. And so for that reason, maybe we should cover it as well. Arnie, why don't you give them the plot? We'll get into Lego Batman movie.
The plot's as complex as the instructions for the Lego AT-AT, so bear with me. Lego Batman, voiced by Will Arnett, is a vigilante who has taken it upon himself to clean up the streets of Lego Gotham City. Born billionaire Bruce Wayne, Batman has used his wealth to create untold gadgets that, accompanied by his amazing physique, has enabled him to keep Gotham safe for years. It's even to the point that the city's police commissioner Gordon, voiced by Hector Elizondo, doesn't even fight crime anymore. He just turns on the bat signal and waits. But in his private life, Batman is lonely. After losing his parents as a child, Batman's only fear is getting close to people. So he sits alone at home, eating lobster Thermidor, watching rom-coms. His only company is his butler Alfred, voiced by Ralph Fiennes. But Batman's life changes in several ways the night Commissioner Gordon decides to retire. First, the new police commissioner is Gordon's daughter, Barbara Gordon, voiced by Rosario Dawson. But this new commissioner isn't happy with having an uncontrollable vigilante loose in the city. She wants Batman to work with the police and play by the rules or be shut down.
I'm just so bothered by the continuity here. It does not match the real Batman continuity with Barbara Gordon.
No, she's not a librarian here.
She should already be Batgirl.
And Barbara is so gorgeous, Bruce Wayne is love-struck and not really paying attention to the queries of orphan Dick Grayson, voiced by Michael Cera. So Bruce unwittingly adopts the boy. Finally, the retirement party is crashed by the Joker, voiced by Zach Galifianakis. The Joker is upset that Batman's lack of attachment extends even to him. Batman doesn't consider the Joker his arch-nemesis. He claims not to consider the Joker at all. So the Joker sets into motion his greatest plan. He turns himself in to Commissioner Gordon and tricks the city's other supercriminals into doing the same. With all the criminals locked up, Batman has nothing to do. More, the Joker makes Batman paranoid, so the Caped Crusader decides to banish the Clown Prince of Crime to the Phantom Zone Dimension, a super prison for super criminals. To do this, he needs to steal the Phantom Zone projector from Superman's Fortress of Solitude, and to do that, he needs help, so he recruits new son Dick to help him, and Dick dons a costume and the persona of Robin. The two then break into Arkham Asylum and banish Joker to the Phantom Zone, but Barbara Gordon locks the two crime fighters in cells for their unlawful activity. In truth, they played to the Joker's plan. In the Phantom Zone, Joker makes friends with Voldemort, the Kraken, King Kong, Sauron, Gremlins, the Wicked Witch, and a dozen other movie bad guys. Harley Quinn opens the portal and the Joker comes through with his new army and lays waste to Gotham City. Barbara Gordon lets Batman and Robin out of Arkham to stop the onslaught with one condition. They work as a team, with Alfred even donning the old Batman outfit to join the fight. But Batman can't do teamwork, and fearing his partners may come to harm, he locks them in the Bat Scuttler. I don't know what that is, but...
It's a mech.
Alone, Batman is banished to the Phantom Zone, where he chats with the zone's gatekeeper, Phyllis, voiced by Ellie Kemper. Phyllis agrees to let Batman go if he promises to return all the bad guys, and Batman finally realizes he needs help. Not only does he bring back Robin, Barbara, and Alfred, but he releases all the city's criminals to help, which they do as they feel spurned that the Joker has a new posse. The Joker uses explosives to blow up the bricks that hold together Lego Gotham City, but Batman and the good guys form a human chain. Batman tells Joker that they are arch enemies, and so Joker and the bad guys join in the chain and they pull Gotham City back together again. The city saved, the big bads are returned to the Phantom Zone, the little bads are allowed to go free, and Batman enjoys rom-coms with his new Bat family as credits roll.
Okay, nothing gets me to shut an animated film down faster than when they take a song from my childhood and have cute anthropomorphic creatures of some kind dancing around to it. I'll never forgive the person that showed me Madagascar. They're like, no, you'll like it. And when they started doing, I don't even remember, it was Chumbawamba or something. I made a scene. I'll be honest. We're not even friends anymore. I was like, you get out of my house. And so here, they start with Man in the Mirror. I feel like this is a parody. They're actually being smart about this. They know how these things get crafted, and they're going to play a lot of jokes, really, on the formula of animated movies and the way that they patronize children.
I like that they're going to make in-jokes. My favorite animated films are the ones that can play to multiple audiences. The way I feel like The Muppet Show did back in its heyday with Jim Henson. Jokes that people of all levels of interest are going to get. The fact that Batman's going to call DC the house that Batman built, an obvious taking of New Line being the house that Freddy built, and the fact that New Line was bought by Warner Brothers, that was such an in-joke that it put a big smile on my face literally 35 seconds into the film.
Yeah, that's one of the things I noticed with this movie. I hate to go to Shrek, but maybe that first one's still okay. It became something horrible. But I felt like that's what made Shrek so popular, is that it played to both audiences, adults and children. And I found this one did the same thing. I watched this with the girls, and sometimes I was laughing by myself. Sometimes we were all laughing. Sometimes they were just laughing. But there's jokes for everyone.
I made it through 25 minutes of Shrek.
I'm just saying, I don't know. It's been a long time. I don't ever want to go back and watch it.
Yeah, he was dancing around a fastball or something. I'm like, I'm out. Peace out. It's awful. But yeah, as far as this goes, it's a long history. I think it goes all the way back to Bullwinkle. Self-referential cartoon. Certainly The Simpsons is my favorite example. And certainly Family Guy, American Dad, Archer. It just, at this point, it is what we expect when we see animated films, for them to acknowledge, hey, we know there's adults in the audiences as well as kids. Let's tell jokes that they're going to get that won't offend or at least fly over the heads of little kids.
I find that to be the intent a lot of the time. I find it to not actually work. I find usually that the movies play better for the kids overall. Yes. If they're going to alienate one audience, they're going to alienate the audience with the longer attention span.
Yes, I definitely agree with you on both counts.
And I feel like, though, this is more modern because it's going to deconstruct. A lot of the jokes have that irony. Again, right from the opening, black, you know, just talking about how movies logos. And again, the girls found this stuff hilarious. I thought it was funny, too. Not as funny as they did, but yeah, they're going to go through all those tropes that we now expect, at least with the Batman movie, and make fun of that.
Yeah, I had to laugh at MacGuffin Airlines once we get into the plot.
The jokes literally are given in such a way that it is the old adage, throw the jokes at the wall. If one doesn't make you laugh, the next one is coming so quick, you're not going to remember the one that didn't make you work. Like, I was kind of rolling my eyes when they were saying that on the plane were two best friends. You know, I'm like, oh boy, what movie did I buy a ticket for to sit in theaters? But then I'm laughing when, like, the one loses rock, paper, scissors. I'm a loser at home and a loser at work. So we can't possibly go through all the jokes because they really do come so fast. I'll say this much. The first half an hour of this movie, the jokes really worked for me. And the more the plot came, the less I liked the jokes.
Yeah, I'll agree. I feel like I was laughing a lot less by the end of this than during that first 30 minutes. And I have to say, as a Batman fan from the comic books, I do like the level of depth as you get into this opening plot to, like, blow up Gotham. And, you know, I started writing down all these characters. Oh, we got the Riddler, we got Scarecrow, we got Bane, who's doing the Tom Hardy voice, which I love.
Shout out to Doug Loves Movies. That's a podcast, and these guys listened to it, and he'd done that Bane voice as a parody on the podcast for a long time, and the Lego Batman guys said, come do our Bane. But my favorite stunt voice casting, Billy Dee Williams finally gets to be Two-Face.
Yes.
Yeah, the poor guy. He was denied. What was it? Batman 2?
Yes.
With the Tim Burton Batman Returns. He was supposed to get it, and a lot of people got cut out of Batman 2, including Robin. But yeah, Billy Dee was in the first Tim Burton. You forget that. And his Harvey Dent never did get to become Two-Face.
Somehow he turned into Tommy Lee Jones.
That's right.
And they'll call out some of the sillier ones, like Condiment King, who was introduced in the animated series as a throwback to Batman 66 villains like Egghead. Just really silly, who now part of the Batman mythos in the comic book. What I liked, again, as a big fan of Batman is, Arnie, I don't know if you noticed this, I know you've read the graphic novel, is they have the mutant leader from The Dark Knight Returns showing up in the background.
I didn't notice that. My biggest laugh was that Killer Croc shows up, and I really think this is a slam at Suicide Squad when he goes, I did something!
Yes.
Yeah, there are. There are little jokes that they work in there that are clearly for people like us that are seeing and knowing the work. I also just think if you're a collector, there's just going to be some fetish that gets met by seeing all these characters in Lego, right? There is an inordinate amount of characters in this movie. 10 toy boxes full. And you get to ogle all of them, and they all get a moment.
That's how I always played with my toys. I never had He-Man versus Skeletor. It was He-Man and all of his friends that I could afford to buy versus Skeletor and all of his friends. When I did Star Wars, every battle involved every toy I had. So this does really make me happy to see. It works story-wise, but it also works in a, this is what I would love so many movies to be, but they'd just be too damn expensive.
I remember as a young teen with those Tim Burton Batman films, I'm like, they're killing all the bad guys. They killed the Joker. They killed the Penguin. How are you supposed to have the big Batman movie where they all combine to fight Batman? That's something that really upset me as a 12-year-old, is that we'd never get that Batman movie where they all team up, kind of like in Batman 66, where you get all the main villains teaming up to fight Batman. But here they do that. They all come together. And so, yeah, there is a level of excitement to just see that entire Batman universe on screen, even if it is in Lego form.
And another joke that I just can't believe they made, they did a Wesley Snipes Passenger 57 yes. Callback, Always Bet on Black.
Yeah, I guess that's what this reference is, what I always think of.
It's gotta be.
But I have to believe it came from something else, right? Wesley didn't invent that, did he? I don't know. It's,
he popularized it. I mean,
it certainly was in the heyday of the early 90s and all the Die Hard ripoffs, the thing I remember him saying most before he went to jail.
And we get a musical number. I'm always a little bit cautious when there's musical numbers in animation. Again, I think those often skew younger. I actually liked this one. I laughed out loud, who doesn't do their taxes? You know, this one worked, and I liked the song well enough, I bought the MP3.
Here's my nervousness. Yes, some of these jokes are working, some of them aren't, but none of them are so off that I'm angry. It's the manic quality. It's the thing that made me cringe during Lego Movie. If a movie is pitched to a certain height, that it's just hard for me to embrace it. And I definitely think if you're a fan of Lego Movie, you're going to be happy to see that they keep the energy level up. For me, it is tiresome, but I want to discredit right now, this movie is funnier than Lego Movie could ever be.
I will make a confession right now. This is not the first time I've watched this movie. It is the first time I have finished it, though. I've put it on a few times. The girls love this movie. I'll start watching them. And after this whole opening scene with the Joker trying to bomb Gotham, I just walk out of the room. It is too manic for me. There's just so much going on. I'm like, okay, I need a break now. This time I had to go in going, okay, I got to sit down and watch this whole thing, knowing how this first like 10 minutes has affected me the couple of times I've tried to watch it.
It's going to need a plot. It can't just do this for 90 minutes. And the good news is it's there. Even though it mocks the animation formula, it's also going to follow and honor some of the traditions. A big theme from Lego Movie about what it is to be ordinary and nothing special, and Legos can make you special. That kind of comes into play here when we see the relationship between Batman and Joker. That Joker wants to be the best villain for Batman, and Batman just isn't having it. He is so narcissistic that he will not acknowledge anyone else's importance in his life.
I mean, I think this is going way back into what's been done in the comics with Batman, and they've never explored the character on this emotional level in any of the live-action movies. movies, but Arnie, you did The Killing Joke with me on Books and Not Shows. That is a thing that they've always played with Batman. Like, without the Joker, is there a Batman? These are in there's internal struggle where they're related to each other. It's almost homoerotic, their relationship. And I do feel like, yeah, they're going to play to that whole storyline here, is with Batman not just needing a family, but his relationship to the Joker and how they feed off each other.
And I gotta say, I really did have to think about it. For someone that has that much money, yes, we always concentrate because they always show us the parents getting killed early. And here they don't show it to us. It's a picture on a wall. But we always focus on, yes, you lost two people in your life, but you have all this money and it's been all this time. How can you be this angry when you have this much privilege?
And I think this is part of the PG rating, and it goes back to Batman 66. I think there's one episode where they mention, like, his parents were shot. They don't play that up. I know my little one, she's like, well, what happened to his parents? Why is there just a picture of them? But yeah, when you get this huge, expansive mansion with the giant fireplaces and everything, they really do play up that loneliness. My wife was very upset that he was microwaving lobster.
Is there such a thing as lobster thermidor?
I never had it. Maybe one day I'll be rich enough to afford it, but I don't know. Maybe. I'll say yeah. Sure.
I did laugh very much at the product placement, though. Everybody's using iPhones. Batman's using Siri. And they even built something into actual Siri where, hello, computer.
You have a message from the Condiment King. It says, PBBBFFFTTTT.
Hello, computer.
Hello, sir. Alfred is on the 17th floor, caulking the tiles in the second bathroom of the fifth master bedroom.
They built that into Siri?
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me that a company that is primarily here to merchandise would find these kinds of opportunities where they can. I mean, let us not forget that Lego, first and foremost, is trying to sell us Legos.
Except they also put out Avenger Lego sets, and they do slam Marvel with their Iron Man sucks as the password to the Batcave, which, again, got a big laugh.
Yeah, I was not expecting them to do that. I mean, him talking smack about Superman, that I got, but him talking smack about the Avengers, ooh, them fighting words. But yeah, the movie does slow down when he's sitting there watching Jerry Maguire, which is actually live action. He's laughing at the wrong moment, so I wonder if he's a little bit off his rocker.
Well, he doesn't have feelings.
You're not supposed to laugh at You Complete Me. That's the sob moment.
Yeah.
That's a dumbass line. I think I would laugh if I ever watched that movie.
Yeah, well, no, I think that he's laughing at the idea of someone else completing another person. It's about narcissism. Why would you ever need someone? How could someone else serve that need for you? It's alien to him. And of course, it's insulting to Alfred, who's been here for all of this time. At some point, Joker even says it's been 72 years. I think they're referencing the very first Bob Kane comic.
Oh, yeah, they go all the way back. I mean, one of the funny montages when they go through every Batman film, but it's in Lego form, except Adam West.
And so to think about this is, yeah, 72 years later, you're still hinging all of your angst on this one event, and all these things have gone well, and you have all these people that are here to support you, like Pewter, like Alfred. It is really insulting that he just continues to say, no, I'm alone and I have all the great ideas. And it walks that tightrope of making us not like this character.
Except for me, I never feel like, oh, making Batman too dark by making him too narcissistic here. I do feel like they're making fun of Batman v Superman and even Christian Bale's Batman, which to me is funny that they're able to laugh at themselves and go, yeah, we made those so dark and dour. And, you know, let's do a psychological profile of that.
I also read the scene differently than you did, Stuart, because with the fact that he's watching rom-coms and that they're playing One is the Loneliest Number tells me he doesn't want to be lonely. He's imposing this because he's still suffering from the loss of his parents. He's keeping people at arm's length intentionally, but it's not what he wants. He doesn't want to come home to this empty mansion. It's what he feels he must do. And that makes him sympathetic to me.
Yeah, don't we find out later that he has a whole collection of rom-coms? Like, that's all he watches.
Yes, I agree. The joke churns and we find out, really, Act 2 is all about finding out that Batman is and aspires to be a softie if he can, you know, convince himself of that. He's fine, I think, putting those feeling things on Bruno. They do keep up the relationship. He's not Batman all the time. Sometimes he's Bruno, a.k.a. Bruce Wayne, and one of those times is when he has to attend the retirement party for Gordon.
Yeah, I do think this movie gets Batman the most right of any Batman movie, in that Bruce Wayne is the costume. Even around the house, he's wearing the cowl. He doesn't want to take the cowl off to go to the party.
Yeah, Alfred has to beg him to take that cowl off when he gets out of the limo.
So he is Batman. That's why in my plot summary, I always called him Batman. He decides to pretend to be Bruce Wayne for a little while, to go to the winter gala that strangely combines a police officer's retirement party with an orphanage charity.
Yeah, but again, there's always a party scene in every Batman movie. And again, the animation films always predicate on an 80s song here. Man in the Mirror creeps in. There's a lounge singer doing it with the orphans.
Richard Cheese. I've actually interviewed him on Star Wars Action News. He had a song in the remake of Dawn of the Living Dead. He's the Weird Al of lounge music.
Yeah, it takes popular songs and changes them to lounge versions. But again, this relationship with this new commissioner, they're going to make a Barbara Gordon here. It feels like something out of that Dark Knight Returns universe where Gordon is dead and this new commissioner hates Batman, wants him arrested just as much as she wants criminals arrested. So again, I feel like they've really gone in depth with all the different Batman stories to create this here and pulled from a lot of different sources, which is exciting as a Batman comic book fan.
Dare I bring it up, but it reminded me of Superman Returns. Lois Lane pinning that anti-Superman, do we really need Superman article.
I never think of Superman Returns, no. But I did think about all the other superhero movies in general, Batman in specific, where we have seen the police turn against the vigilante. And it's just amazing me that it can do that and still be lighthearted. Talking about how when I was at Harvard for police, I used compassion and statistics, and that the police need to work with Batman. Really, she doesn't want Batman gone. She wants the Batman 66 status quo of where he would report to the commissioner.
He's deputized.
Yeah, and she exposes something that I hadn't considered before, and that is that Batman really isn't finishing it off.
He's bad at his job.
And it ends up being intentional, or at least subliminal, that he is not wanting to finish these things. He wants the crime to continue because he doesn't want to face a world without crime. And contrasted, on the limo ride over, he was watching Superman talking about putting Zod in the Phantom Zone and how, well, he's comfortable saying, this is my nemesis.
I do have a problem with that. It should be Lex Luthor, but I guess you can't put him in the Phantom Zone. He's got to stay in Metropolis.
I also think they might have been referencing this is what should have happened with Zod, not his neck being broken.
Yeah. Mm.
I think they're not afraid to poke fun at their DC universe building movie partners there. They're in a different building, in a different division. They can get away with it. I didn't realize when I watched the movie, though, that Superman was voiced by Channing Tatum. I thought that was kind of a cool get, though.
Didn't pick that up either. But, you know, there's a lot of characters here. I'm sure there's a million jokes I missed.
And Green Lantern's going to be Channing Tatum's 21 Jump Street co-star Jonah Hill. So, nice reunion there.
No Ryan Reynolds.
No one wants that.
I'm surprised they didn't make a joke about that a la Deadpool, but maybe Deadpool beat him to the punch.
At any rate, this televised Superman interview also inspires Joker, gives him the idea for his next masterful plot that is going to work. And so he comes busting into the party, as the villain always does in the party scene, and turns himself in.
And all the other criminals. I do love that, like, that big gift box wraps them all up.
And this is also where they introduce Bruce Wayne is happy to run up the stairs and turn back into, I think you guys are right, the real character in this. And he gets something we've never seen in any Batman movie, the Scuttler, that they're going to bring up a couple times in this film. But it's essentially, it looks like a big mechanical ape that has a cockpit for a head.
I think it's a bat, but the wings aren't out when it's like crawling around, but then they kind of shoot out of its arms when it goes to fly.
Well, if you want to see what it is, you can buy it for $63.99 at Target.
Is that all? Nah, gonna take a pass.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of, I thought it like a panther because it was black and had multiple legs.
And so this is really Act 2, the beginning of this. They're following a screenwriting formula. I was very impressed with the way that this is written and the way that they, as much as they are consumed with jokes, they are, in every scene, pushing a story here. And this is the point when we don't need vigilantes anymore. There are no more criminals. You're going to have to spend time with your new family. And obliviously, Bruce made some half promise to the little orphan Dick Grayson.
I'm sorry, the single funniest, dirtiest joke in this entire movie is the kids call me Dick. Kids can be so cruel.
Yeah, I laugh too. I agree. That was a little edgy. I wondered if Lego got a little nervous there.
Yes, my wife, myself, and the 11-year-old laughed at that joke. The 7-year-old was oblivious, thank goodness.
And so, you know, this is the right time. This is usually in Act Two, I think, in that third movie, that Batman Forever. That was when Dick came to live with Bruce and they partnered and learned to be a team.
But if Chris O'Donnell was a little bit old to be a Robin in Batman Forever, how old is this Dick Grayson supposed to be? I get like a 7-year-old vibe off of him.
Yeah, I'm guessing this one's supposed to be like 12.
I do wonder about a little bit of child endangerment. I think that he should have been either a little bit older or a little bit more clued in.
He's 110% expendable.
Yeah, come on, this is a Lego movie, and there are going to be little kids that are here, and so this is absolutely the right iteration of Robin to appeal to them. They want to pal around with older Batman. It's like the older brother syndrome that I suffer from. Yeah, they get to do so much more because they're older and you want to do it, but you're not ready yet. You're not mature enough yet. And so, yeah, I have a real soft spot for Dick Grayson. He's probably the character that holds on, as I don't really like, you know, watching narcissists continue to treat people badly. So, yeah, I'm a real sucker for this sweet kid that's going to do backflips and everything he can to please his new two dads.
I do like that he thinks he has two dads with Bruce Wayne and Batman. And I have to give props to Michael Cera, who I feel like has just really been typecast, waiting for that breakout role where he's not playing someone that feels like they're 12 years old, but...
Which should have been Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Magic. Gonna throw that out there. He did a serious psychological drama where he's the villain.
Okay, maybe I'll have to check that out. But I had to look up who this voice was. It didn't seem like Michael Cera straight off. I don't know if they tweaked it. It seems very high, but I like what he does with the voice work.
Well, I think Will Arnett went low and Michael Cera went high. I do like his character here, just the obliviousness. And I did have to laugh at... Jacob, do you know if all those Batman villains are real? Are all these bat costumes real? Was there really a Rasta Man outside of a Vanilla Ice song?
I don't think they're all real, some of them, but some of them are. There have been some crazy Batman costumes. Again, going back to the 50s and 60s and the comic books, I don't know if Reggae Man is a real costume, but I wouldn't be surprised. I do think Batman hits the nail on the head, though, when he calls some of them problematic, like that mariachi costume.
Yeah. There's one with Wolverine claws, too. Yeah, again, I think there's a million jokes here. I think there's a million moments for people that are fans and collectors to just ogle. You know, this director has the same kind of style sometimes as Wes Anderson, where, you know, I just feel like he just fetishizes the clothes and the backdrop. Like, you could literally turn off the sound, forget the jokes, and just appreciate what you're looking at.
And I did that at times because I'm like, again, going back to the villains, I'm like, man, they got Orca here. They have Catman. Like, they go deep with their references.
And the visuals are astounding. I saw this in 3D in theaters, and the 3D is good. The only time I really enjoy 3D by and large anymore is animated films where everything is rendered in 3D to begin with. But for this review, I popped this in the 4K HDR and just soaked it up. It is really good looking. And yeah, I'm writing down things just in the background. Like, there's an outfit called the Bat Pack. You know, it's like just little jokes. You could watch this movie endlessly if you were so inclined and find some new detail that's amusing every time.
If this were a Star Wars movie, you could buy all of this stuff too.
It's a Lego movie. You really can.
You're right.
Yeah, I think like one of the costumes Robin's going to put on is the original masquerade bat costume that Batman's dad wore to a Halloween party. Like, so yeah, there are lots of references here.
If that's the kinds of stuff you love or have always wanted to see in the movies, I think they beat many of the movies to the punch. Even though they're referencing many times the other film versions, it's all Batman all the time. And Superman too. We're going to see them jet off to the Fortress of Solitude in Richard Donner era. It's all those like broken little crystals together in the North Pole.
I love that they brought in the John Williams score, the little flute music that plays when you go to the Fortress of Solitude is playing when Batman arrives. And when he rings the doorbell, ba ba da ba 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 ba. I'm a John Williams slut. What can I say? I loved it.
Right. And it was set up in a throwaway scene earlier at the prison. Harley Quinn had showed up, tried to subliminally plant in Batman's mind. She was driving a truck called Phantom Zone Laundry Service. The Phantom Zone is in Batman's mind. He realizes that he wants to put Joker there because that will give him something to do, I suppose.
I think also he knows Joker's up to something. And because of the subliminal messages and the fact that Barbara Gordon keeps telling him we don't need you, he needs to feel needed. He needs to think he's still one up on Joker. And so if Arkham isn't secure enough, if the Phantom Zone can hold Zod, who weirdly is not a villain we ever see when we go to the Phantom Zone.
He doesn't escape.
Yeah, he's not as badass as some of the villains they do get here.
This is all motivated because Barbara's like, oh, you never got rid of crime, so this is Batman overcompensating. I will totally eliminate crime. I'll get him into that Phantom Zone. And I love when he gets to, you know, he's making all these jokes about how Superman must be lonely, but there's a whole Justice League party, and I did the math, 57th annual Justice League party. That goes back to 57 years ago, 1960, which is when the Justice League first appeared in comics.
Wonder Mutt on the DJ table. And yes. Yeah, Zan and Jaina in the background.
Super Chief. Yeah. They go deep.
The ones I know from the Super Friends of my childhood were in there. And Martian Dance Hunter. I mean, it's amusing stuff. And I'm surprised they never come back into it later. I thought maybe they would be some of the people with whom Batman would need to connect. But no, this is just a throwaway gag here, and it is going to stay a Bat film.
Yeah, and then you get this now with Robin, where he's a super badass. He's able to get that Phantom projector and make my favorite reference to Gleaming the Cube.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, that one is out there. I appreciated it.
I'm guessing this director is our age, because he seems to have the same knowledge of pop culture.
I mean, he did Robot Chicken, he's gotta be.
But yeah, the sweet story. If you didn't catch all the references, I think you'd be falling in love with Robin here. It's where he decides he wants to be called Robin, tweet tweet on the street, and he's got the disco song Fly Robin Fly as his anthem. And he's really, yeah, trying so hard to do what Batman can't. Batman is too buff to go and get this Phantom Zone projector. So this little kid is doing unbelievable acrobatics to do it. And all Batman can do is praise his unbelievable obeying.
Yes.
And he's a master builder too, which from that first Lego movie, you know, it makes a big deal that he's able to build these things on the fly. He really does impress Batman here. I mean, Batman's going to take the credit himself, but he does get wide-eyed a couple times at the stuff Robin pulls off.
And you do get some, again, relationship building. Like, he's calling him Dad, don't call me Dad. Okay, Padre and Papa, which are good, funny jokes, but I do feel like that goes along with the themes of this movie as well, where we're trying to get a Batman that is open to relationships.
The father thing bothered me a little bit, but I did laugh later on when Barbara's like, it's weirder if he's not your son.
Yeah, they go to the prison, and yeah, again, Barbara's trick is, or Bego, she gets unfortunately named Bego, but Bego is going to always be one step ahead and always catching them. Like, I spot you. You're trying to sneak into my prison. I can see you. What's the thing? They got x-ray machines. You can't get this Phantom Zone projector in.
And that's a Total Recall reference, right? There's a whole fight in the x-ray machine where you just see the skeletons.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it made me think of it. Again, sometimes I don't know if they're referencing it or I'm just recalling something that it reminds me of.
In the commentary, they really went about how, like, they were doing a Total Recall scene here.
Okay.
It's the craziest movie commentary ever. They have 32 people in the room. All talking. And maybe it was just the writing team, though. But now we get to the point of the film where on my first watching, I'm like, all right, I was enjoying this, but we're reaching the 1 hour mark. And honestly, the jokes are starting to wear off a little bit. Maybe the humor just hasn't been sustained. But when Batman takes Joker, shoots him to the Phantom Zone, and then Batman and Robin get locked in Arkham, I'm like, okay, we're going to start getting to some touchy-feely stuff here. I don't know that I'm going to be along for the ride. And then I see where Joker has gone and who he's with, and all of a sudden I get another big grin on my face.
I want to know who put the Kraken and Medusa and King Kong, all these people in the Phantom Zone.
Warner Brothers. Or Warner Bros.
Yes.
They were going to do even more. There were some characters that they had planned. They were going to put Kathy Bates from Misery, Moriarty, Daniel Day-Lewis from Gangs of New York, David Carradine from Kill Bill.
Weird. Yeah, I mean, you know what? They go that deep, I could see that actually working. Some of them aren't, though. Wizard of Oz, that's clearly MGM.
Yeah. It's also, maybe the book version is public domain at this point, but they have Daleks or Daleks. I'm not sure. I'm not a Doctor Who fan.
Yes. The British robot is what they call it.
Yes.
It says, ask my nerd friend. Stuart, what are those?
I was a big Doctor Who fan, mostly because my brother was a big Doctor Who fan back in the 80s. So yeah, again, there's a reference for everyone here. And yeah, it's more ogling of incredible, but new. We're no longer looking at the DC world. We're looking at everything that we grew up with here in the Phantom Zone.
Most of these, I don't think they ever did a Clash of the Titans set. Maybe they did. Lego did a lot of licensing for a time. But most of these are available as Lego sets. They even did a Lego Golden Girls set where you could build the Golden Girls house. I'm surprised they aren't in the Phantom Zone.
I know with Gremlins, they just have them for that Dimensions game, but they have little Gremlins that you could put together. No big sets, though.
I like this, again, from that toy box perspective, though. When I was growing up, we had Mego action figures that sold Spider-Man right next to Superman and Batman, and I didn't know about company line divisions, that those guys couldn't play together. And I'd have Luke Skywalker fighting my Inhumanoids later in my childhood. So the fact that this is what would happen if my toy box got mixed up, I don't care who is what license, let them all play together, that was kind of awesome.
Yeah, it's the only way we'll probably ever see a fight like this. I mean, yeah, it's inconceivable that they worked all of this out to have this blowout for 40 minutes.
Oof.
Yes, I think I'm going to side with you guys on this. We're talking about referential comedy. The big successes of that usually are half hour animated things like The Simpsons. And you only want to do one or two Simpsons and you're good, right? We are now at the hour mark and I'm good. I'm not in a bad mood. I'm not like, oh, I'm tired, but I'm just done. I'm like, I wish this were over because I feel like it should be over. And instead we have what's a really good fight, but a really exhausting 40 minutes to come.
Yeah, this goes on too long for me. It's fun seeing all these villains come out. Batman's gonna have to fight wizards and witches and krakens. That's cool. But like, once they defeat Sauron, who locates the Batcave, and Joker takes over the Batcave and all that. Once they defeat Sauron, though, I'm like, okay, that's the end of the movie, right? Nope, we got like another 20 minutes left.
Jacob, when you said you've never seen this movie to completion, I felt very similarly. I saw this in theaters the first time. I've watched it on video several times since. I did buy it when it came out on digital and showed it to Marjorie, who also enjoyed it. We've never gotten to the credits rolling, though, because the point, Batman gets out of the prison by telling Barbara he agrees to work with whoever she says, Suicide Squad, Fox Force 5, but she wants him to work with her, Robin, and even Alfred, who, like in Batman 66, dons a Batman outfit.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be the climax. You've got every bad guy. You've got the four of them. They just hold the note too long. They even learn to work together. They all use the bat plane together to take down Sauron. And Batman may be commanding, but he does trust everyone. Then Alfred does almost fall to his death, and we're going to replay this entire dynamic again and send Batman to the Phantom Zone. The movie just needed to end 20 minutes earlier.
Or, you know, here's what I would argue, and I argued it also in Batman 66 when we reviewed the old Batman movie with Adam West. They felt like episodes that were stuck together. Treat yourself right. Watch 30 minutes, turn it off, take a day or two, and come back. This should be treated as episodic storytelling and not as a cinematic movie.
The fact that you're going to have Batman and he's going to work with this team with Robin and Alfred Batman and Barbara Gordon, who's now Batgirl. Only if Batman goes by Batboy, though. Like, they come together, they defeat Sauron, and then Batman regresses and wants to go solo again. I'm like, wait, no, we've resolved that conflict.
Yeah.
Like, why are we going back now?
I think it's because of the selfie. The selfie looked too much like his family picture of his parents right before he got shot, and he just realized it was happening. When it was organic, when they were working together and he wasn't thinking about it, he loved it. But when he took that moment to realize, oh, these are my new family, and I'm doing what Barbara Gordon wanted me to do and becoming part of the police team, I think that was his moment of hesitation.
Yeah, but we already got an hour of hesitation. Like, that should be resolved at this point.
I understand what the script is telling me his motivation is. I never question why is Batman doing what he's doing. I question why the screenwriters have chosen to prolong this conflict at 15 minutes longer than they have to.
Because there's more jokes to tell, and because you can hit stop and go do other things and then come back to watch the last 30 minutes when you're ready for it.
I saw this in theaters. There was no stop.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Yeah, that would be harder. It would be a very different experience as Ninjago was when you just, it has to just roll right over you.
And what's weird is the Joker's ultimate plan by the end of this, after an hour and a half, is to do the same thing he wanted to do at the beginning. Blow up Gotham.
When they came to him in the cell, he wanted, finally, that's the admission. If you're shooting me into the Phantom Zone, that means I'm your Zod. I am your worst nemesis.
Yeah, he wants Batman to hate him. He wants to hear those words. I hate you.
The irony is, as Batman is regressed into I fight alone, sending the others off in the scuttler, you know, he goes back to the mansion. And Joker's moved beyond. He doesn't want to be in a one-sided relationship anymore. I'm surprised that a Phil Donahue or an Oprah doll didn't come in at this point to mediate this. But yeah, it's kind of funny that he's just ready to blow the whole thing up and move on.
I mean, I do like the moment where Batman goes to the Phantom Zone. He gets shot there and he gets scanned as a bad guy. I'm like, that's a cool development. I just wish this was moving along quicker by the end.
And he's not really a bad guy. He's not a good guy either. I do want to say I like the voice of Phyllis, the Lego brick that guards the Phantom Zone. It's Ellie Kemper.
I've seen her on The Office.
She stars in The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and that's a really funny Netflix series.
One of the hundreds of Netflix series that I have not gotten to.
She is Kimmy Schmidt?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen a couple episodes. Yeah, she's fun. It's nice to have a character that we've never seen before. In a world full of references, here is something, it's just a Lego brick with lights that is going to scan you to see how evil you are. I love the fact that it wasn't sure about Joker, but Batman, it doesn't even need to scan. It's like, oh yeah, there's something wrong with you. Just look at you. And of course, yeah, when we replay all the ways that he's treated Joker, Alfred, Robin, throughout the course of this movie, it has been abusive. And I'm glad to see this character coming to that resolution. I have felt that, and it hasn't been always funny for me to see Batman mistreat people. I'm glad that there's a turn of event. As corny as it can be, as patronizing and quote-unquote kitty as it may seem to adults in the room, it's also necessary. We need this character to change. It would be very unsatisfying if he was still the same at the end of the movie as he was in the beginning.
But I wanted him to make that change when they were all together on the Batplane.
Yes.
I just didn't want it to be elongated as much as it was. I just don't think this movie deserves a 100-minute running time. It's funny, but it's too long. And by the end, I am exhausted and the jokes are mostly gone at this point.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to stretch to get a onomatopoeia joke from Batman 66. It feels like they're trying to squeeze everything in there. This would have been much better at like 85 minutes.
I still think that there's jokes that I'm like, wow, is that a joke? There's a Twilight Zone crossover joke. The gremlins tearing up the plane is like, well, that's two franchises at the same time. And I think Voldemort turning the police into fish is a joke on fish police. Maybe? You guys remember that one? But it was a
Fish Police? No.
Yeah, it was an animated series for a half a second in the early 90s, where it was a bunch of fish that were cops. Yeah.
You're not thinking of Street Sharks?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, okay.
I know Street Sharks.
Well, they're sharks that are like Street and Hood, and they run around on rollerblades.
What I'm saying is, I think if it's a victim of anything, it's too much of a good thing. But the answer to that is not to order them to cut, but for you to take a breath. I know I did well by hitting the pause button. The pause button is your friend. Walk away, and when you're ready for more of it, it's, I think, as strong at any half hour that you start and stop this thing, but it is too much when you do it in 1 hour, 40 minutes.
To me, that is damning, though, for a movie. That's fine for a television show, but for a movie, that's a damning thing where you're saying you got to take a couple day break after every 30 minutes.
I'm right there with you, Jacob. If you're saying don't binge watch a series because it's too much of a good thing, that's a series that's intended to be broken up. A movie is supposed to be a single course meal, and this is too stuffing.
And I remember this being the debate when we covered Adam West's movie, the very first Batman thing. I ended up giving it a green arrow, even though I recognized these problems. And Arnie, you went red because you just felt like it wasn't a movie experience.
And when I watch movies for Now Playing, I force myself to do them in one sitting. Sometimes it is harder than others. And this time, I just feel so damn exhausted when the bricks that keep the city together start separating. I'm just so done.
Question here. You know, we also had a scene where they all decide we're going to work together. And yes, we got Batgirl. And Robin, I think, becomes Nightwing. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's what happens to Dick Grayson when he gets college age in the comics. He becomes Nightwing, and I think we're supposed to be getting a Nightwing movie in a year or two.
Yeah, I looked it up. Chris McKay, the director of this film, is directing that live-action movie.
Live-action one, though. That's going to be like the Dark Warner Brothers DC universe, I suspect.
What do I need to know about Nightwing?
No, that it's college age Dick Grayson trying to become his own character.
Okay.
That's all it really is. Just grown up Robin.
So that's why I'm hearing Zac Efron's name. Okay.
Yeah, and they drop Bloodhaven a lot, which is where Nightwing does a lot of his prowling in the comics. It's another DC city.
All right. Well, I don't know whether to be excited for it or not, but all right.
I always like the Nightwing outfit. I like Dick Grayson's rapport with Batman when they're both adults. And usually there's a new Robin around too, but I don't know a whole lot about him outside of a few episodes of the animated series. But I did laugh when Batman and Robin get together again and decide they're going to hit people so hard words pop up.
You know, more than a few times, the 60s Batman is referenced. Again, I think it's its closest cousin. If there's any incarnation that's been on screen before that's like Lego Batman, it is Adam West, Batman 1966 movie and TV series. It has that same sensibility, but sped up for a millennial audience to appreciate.
You know, I've heard Adam West's version of Batman called The Bright Knight as opposed to The Dark Knight. And really, you know, Frank Miller in The Dark Knight Returns, that was reclaiming Batman from that Adam West persona that so many people just associated with Batman. I do feel like this is trying to reclaim that Bright Knight again, take it away from that Christian Bale from Ben Affleck and try to make it a lighter character. Part of it because it's a kid's movie, but man, those movies have gotten way self-serious.
Yeah, I think it'll be helpful. And I don't think that's going to change. I think when we get to Justice League, we're going to continue to see that gloom and doom that Snyder and Nolan infused their iterations with. So yeah, I think it's helpful if they're going to continue Lego Batman. Well, at least they have something to parody in the future. As long as there's going to be a gloomy Batman, it will be helpful to have this incarnation as well. That said, I hope they do come up with a better climax. This is where the Lego people are just like, we need to be about the Legos.
Yeah, we're going to form a human centipede to save the city.
I'm not going to complain too much. It's a kid's film and they needed a simple answer. And yes, they are pushing toys on us. So yes, let's just snap things together and see if we can hold. And we'll get this corny moment with Joker and Batman.
I do like that they tell each other they hate one another.
It is a rom-com in certain ways, you know? Batman likes rom-coms. I did like the bad guy who said they love the end of Marley and Me, but it does end with you had me at hello kind of moment.
Everything that they start, they complete here in the end. And even though I may not agree with all of the choices, yeah, they do it well as it's a polished screenplay. They've done a good job of making a Lego and a Batman movie.
But at the end, Batman has a bat family. Now, there have been a couple other pop songs in here. I really actively dislike their saccharine sweetness. I liked when Will Arnett was singing at the beginning, but friends, friends are family. No, no, no. And I'm sorry, was that Jaden Smith's prom outfit that Batman was wearing at the end?
They might have
been. Yeah, everyone's got those white versions of their outfits at the end.
I hadn't thought about it, but that makes a whole lot of sense here. Yeah, the soundtrack I wasn't loving, but again, that's always been my beef with this, is that's usually the moment, the dance scenes and what have you. They work Michael Jackson back into this as well, but I think it works as much as a parody as well as a celebration of what animation for kids is doing these days in theaters.
But how well is that? Jacob, Stewart, do you recommend the Lego Batman movie?
Jacob.
Yeah, you know, again, I think this is too long. The climax is what's really too long for me. Once they defeat Sauron, wrap it up, and this movie just keeps... I actually hit the button to tell me how much time was left, and I'm like, ooh, that's a lot of time left on this, because I am exhausted. And maybe for my young girls that got way more energy than me, they're eating this up, they're loving it, and hey, they're the primary audience, so that's working. As an adult, I wanted this to move along a bit quicker, but hey, there's a lot of things I do like with this, and that is... they're able to do things with Batman that Christopher Nolan couldn't or wouldn't, that Zack Snyder would never do, and that is to do a more of a psychological examination of what makes that character Batman, and his loneliness, and yeah, they do it in a funny way, and it's not deep psychology, but I appreciated that they really delved into that and went to create a family for him and resolve those issues, and maybe he'll be a brighter Batman in the sequel to this Lego Batman. So, as an adult, you might get tired. You might have to do the Stuart route and just take it in chunks. But yeah, I'm going to give this a recommend.
Stuart.
Yeah, I'm going to take a page from Michael Jackson or maybe Bruce Wayne, Batman, and look at that man in the mirror and say, no, I don't hate all kids' movies. I don't hate Lego movies, per se. Ninjago, no. Lego movie, no. But this is a much better film, partly because it knows how to play with camp, and partly because it knows how to still play ball with Pixar. I think that if you want a family film that has morals and lessons for the characters, you're going to get that. If you want a silly film for children, you're going to get that. You're also going to get a whole history of Batman and self-references and just cleverness that's fun to relive as people from Gen X, people like me that have now seen all the movies and will get lots of the in-jokes that kids aren't exposed to yet. I wonder if there is a series here. I do feel like maybe all that there is to parody about Batman has been done. I certainly found it exhausting at an hour and 40 minutes. I don't know why we would need, other than, yes, the greed of it, why we would need another 2 hours to talk more about Batman's failings, but I'm not dreading it. If it should happen, I think there's a place for the Dark Knight, and I think there's a place for the Lego Knight. And so, it's a solid recommend.
I'm just really happy to say there is no Lego Batman Movie 2 announced by Lego.
Yet.
They have the Lego Movie sequel coming in 2019.
Not gonna see it.
And then they have something called the Billion Brick Race.
Don't even want to know. Come on, you don't think that someone's cooking on the script?
Oh, yeah.
I would like to think that maybe they'll move a different direction and maybe go to some of the other Justice League members or something versus Batman. After all, we're doing this in relation to the Justice League.
Maybe Aquaman will be a big hit in Justice League and we'll get a Lego Aquaman movie.
He looks good in the trailer, the last trailer, I gotta say that. But as far as this movie goes, when I walked out of the theater, I was really, really happy, and I wasn't even exhausted the first time I watched it. It just was really fun. I was laughing from the moment that Batman starts talking about the Rat Pack logo all the way up till him sitting there maniacally watching Jerry Maguire with his Bat family. I enjoyed this movie quite a bit. Upon rewatching, like any comedy, it loses some of its luster, and I do find it now a bit of a marathon to get to that end. But this is a smart movie. This is a funny movie. This is a fun movie. I recommend it for Batman fans. I recommend it for children. I recommend it for any adult who likes comic book movies. There's a lot of tropes here that are made fun of. It's one of the more original superhero films we've seen in a long time, honestly, because I feel like even with Doctor Strange and Ant-Man, same beats, same tropes, same everything. This one really felt fresh. This could have been a live-action Adam West type film. It wouldn't have been able to have all the detail, but I would have enjoyed it as much. So I give this a really solid recommend. And that's why I was agreeing with the listeners who said we should review this. So patrons, thank you for pushing us over the edge and getting us to do this one-time review of a Lego movie.
Agreed on all of that. Yes, thank you, patrons. We will be back in December, not with a holiday film, but as you may know, over on our gold level, we are covering all the Hellraiser movies. Arnie really wanted to talk more Clive Barker. If you get our book, Underrated Movies, he's talked about Nightbreed. And if you join us in December, you're going to hear about Clive Barker's other major directorial effort, a little film that I vaguely remember seeing called Lord of Illusion.
I saw it in theaters. I saw the director's cut on VHS. I saw the second director's cut on DVD. I've listened to the commentaries. I've watched this film more times than I actually can count. And I felt like this was my only chance ever to get it in for a review. So let's do it.
The suspense is, can Clive Barker ever direct well? Let's find out.
I guess that's previewing Stuart's Thoughts of Nightbreed from the book.
Yes.
So yes, thank you, donors. We will be back on Tuesday with a review of Justice League. And until next time, now playing out.
Yes, we did it!
That's so rad! Come on, let's hear it from us! That was incredible! I felt so jazzed!
I say jazz!
I gotta give it to you, Batman, that was awesome.
And you were awesome,
thanks.
And you were awesome.
I love compliments!
You were awesome, and I was amazing, and I'm not trying to make it about myself, obviously, but I just want to make sure that everyone gets a pat on the back, because it feels good.
Thank you to all the listeners who have backed us through our Podbean crowdfunding campaign.
You complete.
You had me at hello.
And we hope you've enjoyed this special bonus movie review podcast.
Happy now.
Indubitably.
Good. Must be nice to be happy.
Now Playing relies on support from listeners like you to keep going. So thanks to you all.
It takes a village, not a Batman.
Now that you've heard this review, head to the Now Playing podcast forums and share your thoughts on this movie. The link to our forums is at nowplayingpodcast.com.
What is the password?
Iron Man sucks.
Lego Batman, the Lego films, and all audio clips and music used are the property of their respective copyright holders, and no infringement is intended. This podcast has not been prepared, approved, or licensed by any entity that created or produced the Lego or Batman films, comics, or video games. Now Playing is an independent movie review podcast with no affiliation with any company involved in the publishing, creating, or distribution of those films.
I'm sorry. I literally have no idea what you're talking about.
The opinions expressed on Now Playing are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the opinion of Venganza Media Incorporated.
I hate everything you just said.
Now Playing is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2017, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
Copyright Batman. Remember, kids, if you want to be like Batman, take care of your abs. Batman out.
RIP! One recommend. If your children do drag you to San Diego Legoland, you absolutely must try the apple fries. They are almost worth the price of admission. They are incredible. They are French fried apples served with whipped cream. Delicious.
RIP!
Give me one for that ninja movie. I'm like, please don't judge me.
You're embarrassed to even say the name.
Oh, yeah. I'm so ashamed, really.
I know the feeling. I must have felt similar when I asked for 3 tickets to Spice World.
And they were all for you. Consecutive viewings.
RIP! He also, and no one's supposed to know this, is the person who did the Star Wars Cantina Copacabana crossover, but he did that under another name. That's something only our patrons will ever know.
Ooh.
I don't even know what that's from.
Me either.
You don't know? From the Star Wars Cantina.
No.
The weirdest things you've ever seen here at the Star Wars Cantina. Music and blasters and old Jedi masters.
Was that Robot Chicken or just a single put out?
No, this was just a Richard Cheese song he leaked onto the internet.
Oh, okay.
RIP! I'm a real sucker for this sweet kid that is going to do bat flips.
RIP! Which they do as they feel spurned that the Joker has a new posse.
Yeah, I know. That's how I feel by the end of this film. It just keeps going.
It does. That's, we'll get there eventually. The Joker uses RIP! And they even built something into actual Siri where
you should make a sound.
Me? Oh. Oh, no. You're trying to make a sound.
Yes, you should be making a sound. Why are you not making sound?
Hello, computer.
Yeah.
What was that?
His rap.
Hello, computer.
You have a message from the Condiment King. It says PBBBFFFTTTT.
Hello, computer.
Hello, sir. Alfred is on the 17th floor, caulking the tiles in the second bathroom of the fifth master bedroom.
This could go on all day.
Oh, okay. So...
Sorry. Master, I didn't get that.
Can I get a word in, Siri?
They built that into Siri?
Yeah.
I don't use Siri at all.
Yeah. No, I've never used it, honestly. I can be technophobic from time to time, but... Now, they drop something here that they don't follow up on. It seems like Bruce/Batman has a thing for the mayor, but the mayor doesn't really play much of a part, other than being voiced by Mariah Carey and, yeah, being swapped out at the beginning heist where it turns out to be Batman and Drag. I guess it's kind of cool and progressive that the woman that he's going to be dealing with the whole movie is not the woman that he's romanticizing.
No, you got that wrong. When he's hearing I Just Died in Your Arms Tonight, he's looking at Barbara Gordon, yeah. Not the mayor.
He's into Barbara.
Oh, then I just got it wrong. I can't tell these Legos apart, apparently, is the problem.
You don't see color with Legos.
Okay. Well, then that's maybe not the fault of the animator, and maybe it's just my bias coming through. Sorry about that. All right, well, then never mind. This is just like any other superhero movie. If there's a woman in it, Batman's going to fall for her. That's right, because later he falls in her arms and says, someone get the knife to cut the tension. Got it. You're right. He does love her and will continue to make advances. I don't really like, you know, watching narcissists continue to treat people badly. But
and yet you hang out with me.
Well... But
wow, wow, you're admitting it.
That is a joke. That is a joke I'll be unpacking all the way to Christmas. I think I'm done. Wow.
This torn red.
I was not, I mean, if you had hit me in the face, I don't think I would have been any more surprised in this moment. Anyway, what was I saying? Because I was trying to make a point.
I think you're saying you like Robin.
Yeah, I like Robin. That was the point.